I had never recognized that I was ever in a wilderness season before. And so knowing that you're not alone, it feels like you're alone. And even though I knew it was a God-led experience, I did have some really dark days of feeling very isolated. And so, you know, God is with us the whole time. And so it's very important that we remember that, lean on the word, stay in prayer. You know, I built a prayer closet. It's one of the things that I did during this time frame. And I would go into that prayer closet and I would just cry out to God during those times.
You're listening to Altered Stories with Michelle Renee Gutch.
Hello, Altered Story Show listeners, and welcome to my season 3, episode 126, Rising Up God Story, featuring my special guest, Vivian Cummings. This is your chief storyteller host, Michelle Saunders Gutch, and thank you for listening to my show that helps Christian women share their God stories so women around the world can hear them and never feel alone. You're also watching, friends. Got to get used to that because I'm used to doing audio recordings. So this is also a video. So grateful for that. Now, friends, I hope you're enjoying listening to my inspiring God story episodes and have subscribed to my show and new YouTube podcast channel. And also, if you live in the United States, are you ready for spring? I know I am, and it is upon us very soon. I love springtime for so many reasons. And now, friends, I'm not going to share a whole lot here. We're going to just jump in and get to know Vivian and have her share. So I'm excited to bring her to the mic. Welcome, Vivian. And I'll say just a few words real quick. She's a writer, speaker, and podcast host who grew up in a small town in Oklahoma. She's also a career professional, a military spouse. Ooh, I honor that. Stepmom to 2 adult children, I honor that. And a glammy, oh my goodness, a glammy to 5 grands. Doesn't she look fabulous, friends? So let's get to know her. As I said, welcome to the Altered Story Show, Vivian. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me in that wonderful introduction. You know, every time that introduction is read, I kind of giggle a little bit because it's like, yeah, that is who I am. But gosh, there's so much more, you know, and I always struggle with how much do I want to share with people? Are they going to be interested in all these crazy things that make up me? But I am a wife to a retired Air Force veteran. And a fun fact, my husband and I, we went to high school together. We grew up together, actually. And he was actually the best man in my first wedding. I was the maid of honor in his first wedding. So we go way back.
Wow.
My ex-husband and my current husband, they joined the Air Force together on the buddy program. We thought that the 4 of us would get stationed together and serve together. And unfortunately, that didn't quite work out. But, you know, after about 8 years, unfortunately, he experienced a divorce. And then after 10 years, I experienced a divorce. And but we stayed friends. He's always been one of my best friends. And after my divorce, we stayed in touch and we talked a lot on the phone. And we ended up getting together in Vegas, of all things. We went to Vegas as a trip, you know, and reconnected as good friends. And then one thing just led to another. And we've been married 21 years now. And Wow. So it's kind of a fun fact. And, you know, those 2 adult children that you mentioned, because I've been a friend of that family for so long. I actually was there when they were born, and well, I was there when my daughter was born, my stepdaughter, my stepson. I didn't get to meet him until he was six, but yeah, I've been in their life their whole life. And so now I'm a bonus mom to those two adult children, and I love being a Glammy. My stepdaughter, she came up with that name because I felt like grandma just didn't quite fit yet.
I know, isn't it freaky? It's,
yeah, I was like,
when you're not, I don't know, you got to have a mindset and change.
Yeah, so she came up with Glammy, which stands for glamorous granny. And I said, okay, I can live with that. And it's easy for the kids to say. And so anyways, that's kind of fun. So that's just a fun fact, a little bit more about me.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, without women like you willing to come to the mic and share stories like you're going to share today, Altered Stories Ministry wouldn't exist. Altered Stories wouldn't, because it's all about the story and how God gets the glory and how it comes in. And so I would love to hear from you, Vivian, why you think it's so important for Christian women to share their God stories. Why is that so important?
You know, I think it's important because we all have a story, and so many of our stories are similar. And, you know, one of the things that is part of my ministry now is living a balanced life, or trying to live in a balanced life, because it's an everyday thing mm-hmm. we have to work on. But as I've been talking to women and doing some podcasting and interviewing women, I'm finding that we're all struggling with similar things. And many of us, like myself, had struggled in silence and never really talk to anybody about what I was feeling or dealing with. And that isolation, you know, eventually I became depressed. And so I think it's important that we share with each other, because it very well could help someone else.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think what I'm finding in these stories that I'm sharing from women and stories that have been shared to me throughout the duration of my life, women's stories specifically, women, they don't easily share, you know, sometimes, especially in our Christian culture too. I mean, I think that it takes a lot to get to that place. But when God prompts a woman, I think, you know, that's when all of the pieces and the parts and everything comes forward. And I do think he knows our needs and how we can get to that place of feeling open enough to share. So again, thank you for being willing to,
yes,
you know, share your amazing rising up God story. Mm-hmm. So with that, Vivian, share with us where your rising up God story began, and take us through the journey. Set the stage for us.
You and bet.
We'll hear more.
So I think my story began a lot sooner than I actually ever realized it did. So I will kind of go back to, I'll start with saying that about 3 years ago, I rededicated my life to Christ. I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old. Saved and baptized in Maranatha Baptist Church back home in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And, you know, I didn't always live a Christian lifestyle. I got into a lot of things, mostly alcohol in high school and then in my first marriage. And that kind of bled over a little bit after I was divorced. But once I remarried and got with my husband, you know, I really kind of straightened up my life there and wanted to be a good example for our children. And so 3 years ago, I had reached a point where I was very tired of myself. I was tired of striving. I have been a perfectionist, and I say recovering perfectionist and control freak now, because I am recovering from that. But my whole life, I have really strived for perfection, and it dates back all the way to age 5. And my first recollection of this perfectionist tendencies was during nap time in kindergarten when we would lay down our mats and take a nap. I remember fanning my mat because it wouldn't lie straight. It kept rippling every time I would lie it down, and just kept fanning it over and over to get it perfect. And my teacher at that point had told me if I did it one more time, she was going to give me a spanking. And so I ended up laying down on it, but being so incredibly angry with her for forcing me to accept mediocrity. And so when I say that it dates back a long time ago, that's what I'm referring to. And so fast forward to 3 years ago, my whole entire life has been that desire and need to be perfect. And so it, you know, from childhood, it then bled over into adolescent. And I went through this phase where my hair had to be perfect before I would go to school. And I could never get it to fix right. And so I would constantly rewash it and try to fix it. And I would get myself so worked up, I would have anxiety attacks, you know. And then it bled into, you know, when I was in college, having every paper needing to be perfect, having to have straight A's. It's just the constant pressure on myself. And then as I entered my career, then it started to really bleeding over into my work product. So I would take a long time trying to turn something in because I wanted it to be perfect. And my employers always gave me a free pass because what the work product they received, there was no flaws. It was perfect. And so the fact that it was often late, I got a free pass for that. And so anyways, and so this is basically how I'd been living my life, needing to be perfect on everything and striving so hard that I just got really tired of it. I got tired of putting myself through that. And I just fell to my knees one day and just told God, I am so sick of myself. Please change me. I'm tired. I feel selfish. I felt very selfish and self-centered, like I was doing all of these things just for me and not doing anything to further the kingdom at all. And so I was kind of starting to be really burned out and depressed. And so I asked God to just do whatever he needed to do to change me. And I told him I would be all in. I knew enough. I'd been a Christian, you know, for a very long time. So I knew that when I opened that door, that God would do exactly what he needed to do to change my heart and my circumstances. And I immediately entered into a wilderness at that moment. And I expected it. I knew it would happen and I expected it. It was not a surprise. So that was, I don't remember the day it was. I do remember, so I work from home now. I'm a remote worker since COVID. They sent a lot of us federal workers who are office type workers home. So I remember I was at home and I remember it was during the workday. I couldn't even concentrate on working. My heart was so heavy that day. And so I think it was like during my lunch hour or something. And I go back to work and I get a phone call that my dad, well, and I knew my dad had cancer. He had been diagnosed with cancer. And so I knew he was dealing with that. And then I got a call. My mom was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And they were sending her to have surgery on her eyes because I guess she was very, very close to becoming blind. She didn't know she had type 2. And so it was taking her eyesight. And so one of the things about me is I like to be in control of everything. And I think a lot of perfectionists have that as well. I know for me, you know, if I want things to be perfect, I have to control the situation and control the narrative. And when I can't control it, things aren't perfect. And that, you know, had always given me a lot of anxiety. And what God was really doing in this sense was teaching me how to give up that control and trust him. And so I started to experience things that I had no control over. And so I, like I said, I really understood what was happening. I did. And so I've always been very protective of my mom in particular for some reason, but also my dad too, as my parents are aging. And so the fact that my parents were being inflicted with these health issues, I was very bothered by that because, you know, Satan will do what he can to get us off course, especially when you rededicate your life or you first become saved or, you know, you're doing something for the kingdom. And so I was very frustrated that my parents were being attacked. That was the first thing. Both my mom and dad were dealing with a lot of medical issues. And then I started dealing with a lot of my own medical issues. And so I had recently gone to where my mom and dad live in another state to help my mom take care of my dad. He had had some surgery related to the cancer, and she needed some help. So I spent some time there. And then when I came back, I got really, really sick. And so it was right before COVID hit. It was when COVID hit. So we weren't really sure if it was COVID or if I had just, my immune system had gotten run down. That was before we had the home test kits and all of that. And so it was probably COVID, but I got very, very sick. And, then I got shingles on top of that.
That was painful.
Those are horrible. So I was really sick. Then I got the shingles, and then I started, this is so crazy. It's actually a thing. It's called rib slippage syndrome. And it's where your ribs will, slip out and like detach. And so I started dealing with that. I would wake up in the middle of the night having turned over and a rib would have popped out. And that feels like, it literally feels like you're being stabbed in the heart with your own rib. It is horrible. And each time it would happen, I would pass out and my husband would freak out. And it was just a thing. And now this was going on. So I was dealing with rib slippage issues. And because my dad, he also had skin cancer, I had a spot on my nose that I had gone to the dermatologist to look at because I thought, well, you know, I'm probably should have this looked at since my dad had skin cancer. And while I was there, they said, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about that. But since you're here, let us do a full body scan. You already paid your copay. Might as well get your money's worth. And so when they did the full body skin scan, they found a place on my left shin, on my leg, that was questionable. And so they did a biopsy. I'm telling you, Michelle, I was not even concerned about it. I really wasn't. I was like, I've had that for a few years. It's been looked at before. I was told it was nothing. I'm good. Do your thing. You know, I didn't think anything about it. I really didn't. Fast forward about 3 days, 2 or 3 days later, I'm at my home office and I had been having heart palpitations. And all of this is because of stress, by the way.
Yeah, I understand, Vivian. Definitely understand. We'll talk later.
So I had been having heart palpitations, and that particular day, I fainted at my desk, and when I woke up, it scared me enough, and I probably should have called somebody, but I ended up driving myself to the emergency room because I was having chest pains and the palpitations, and I had just fainted, and so I was concerned. So I drove myself to the ER, and they immediately started, you know, giving me the baby aspirin, thinking potentially I'd had a heart attack. And so I'm literally laying in the emergency room hospital bed, hooked up to all these monitors, waiting for the doctor to come in, tell me whether or not I had a heart attack. And I get a phone call from the dermatologist. And I'm thinking it's just routine. You know, your test came back okay. Well, it didn't. It came back and I had melanoma. And they staged it at stage 3. And so I'm, like I said, literally laying in a hospital bed. And I get the message that now I have cancer on top of that. And so that's when I ended up going through the journey of dealing with cancer. And praise God, I didn't have to have chemotherapy or radiation or anything like that. I did have a series of 3 surgeries to remove it. And I had to have some reconstructive surgeries and, you know, skin grafts and all of those things. And so it was a year of, in 2021, it was a year of just dealing with surgery after surgery and recovery and all the things. And so, so all of these things are happening as part of my wilderness journey, but God really spoke to me very, very clearly in this time frame. And I have never experienced the closeness to God as I did when I was going through all of this bad stuff. And I didn't even know, I mean, I have heard stories and read about, you know, discernment, hearing God and all of that stuff, but for some reason I never experienced it. And when I was, after I'd had the first surgery to remove the cancer, because the type of cancer I had. It was superficial spreading. It was very aggressive. And the doctors were concerned that it had already spread because I had had the spot on my leg for 2 years. And the type that I had, the surface doesn't change. It was underneath the skin that was changing. And so the way that it was explained to me, it was like an octopus tentacles that were spreading out. And so they were very concerned that it had already spread and metastasized into my internal organs. And so when they did the surgery to remove the cancer, they also, removed some lymph nodes to see if it had spread. And so they told me it would take about 10 days to get those results back. And so for 10 days, I was, well, not exactly the full 10 days. I would say for about 6 days, my prayer was, give me negatives. That's all I cared about. Give me negatives, negatives on that they got all the cancer, negatives that all of these tests that they were running, I was having bone scans and all these things, that all of these things come back negative. And that was my prayer. Lord, give me negatives. And so I love how he answered that prayer because it was so incredibly specific. I started having, this was the first part, or this was the first time that God started speaking to me in dreams. And I had a dream one evening. It was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 days after I'd had the surgery. And in this dream, I was by myself in a room. And I was, it was just an empty room. The walls were manila or kind of like an off-white. And I was holding a manila envelope, an 8x10 manila envelope. And it was bulging. It was so full. And it was addressed to me. And there was no return address on there. But I knew who it was from. I knew who it was from. And so I go to open up the flap and out pours out all of these copper colored negative strips. So there might be some of your listeners and viewers who may not remember, but back in the day, we had cameras that were not cell phones. And in order, when you would take pictures, you would have to take the film in, they would develop the film, you'd get your pictures, and then in the envelope would be these strips. And on each strip, it had a picture of your of the photograph. And if you wanted to make copies, you took in the negative. And so I opened up this envelope and hundreds of copper colored negative strips came out. And in my dream, I picked up one of them. I picked up a lot of them actually, and I would hold them to the light. That's how you could see what photograph was on there. And I held them up to the light and my husband was in them. My kids were in them. My grandkids were in them. They were all together. Everybody was smiling. Everybody was happy, but I wasn't in any of the pictures. And when I woke up, apparently I had been crying in the dream and I woke up and I was crying. It was really bizarre. I'd never woken up from a dream actually physically crying, but I was sobbing when I woke up but I had so much peace. I mean, it's that whole peace, beyond understanding thing. I experienced that for the first time in my life because even though I wasn't in any of those pictures, God was just telling me, number one, he answered my prayer. He gave me negatives. And I knew that I was going to be okay, even if something came back and I did have cancer still, my family was going to be okay. And I was going to be okay regardless. So I just had so much peace. And so after that, I think I still had, was a little nervous, waiting for those results, but I had so much peace with no matter what it came back with, I was going to be okay. And so they did come back and I remember that day it was in the living room again. And I get the call from the nurse and she said, Vivian, I just wanted to call and let you know that they're negative. And I just, again, that time I fell to the floor and just praised the Lord because I got the answer to my prayer. And so that story is just, it means so much to me that God would do that and speak to me in such a clear way that I could understand.
I mean, I love the fact too, that you set the stage and you get the backstory and then you brought us through to kind of where you were emotionally and all those things that God was breaking off of you in terms of your perfectionism and other strongholds you know, that were keeping you so anxiety bound and all those other things. And then how you prayed. Oh my gosh. And God, he does answer our prayers when it comes to his children and wanting to turn over our dependence or surrender to him. So all the things that you were mentioning that God broke off of you were just incredible. I don't know. I'm still kind of processing a lot of it, because when, you know, all of a sudden everything was happening and occurring that you had no control over, and then going into the wilderness, and then how God was refining you and moving you and preparing you for what he had ahead. And that's a lot, Vivian, to having a parent that was fighting cancer, to a mother who was struggling with diabetes, and then dealing with your own health issues and the scary thing of cancer. And then, you know, I love how you shared too about the film, you know, God, this God goes ahead of us, right? In preparing us and showing us that no matter what, no matter what's ahead, when we do surrender to him fully and we let him take the reins, he's in charge, but you got that peace, right? So that total peace of knowing that everything was going to be okay. The challenge is, how did you keep rising up? In other words, how did you keep from falling back into those old ways of wanting to control, you know, stepping away from that piece? Tell us a little bit about that in terms of maybe a favorite scripture, prayer, or prayer group, people praying around you. How did you keep centered on that?
So it was a struggle. I'm not going to lie. It was a struggle in the beginning. And I still catch myself, you know, one of the things that, that God has revealed to me, he revealed the word extreme to me. And that really sums me up. I tended to go into the extreme. And so trying to monitor my situation so that I don't go into the extreme, meaning, you know, if I find that I'm stressed at work, going into the extreme could be working excessive amount of hours. It could mean, one of the things that I had struggled with in the past is sugar, you know, so when I feel that stress or anxiety or things aren't going my way, I need an outlet, and I would eat sugar. I would eat junk and things like that. And so God has just really revealed to me that that is a stronghold I've had. And so I really have to work on that. I pray about it every single day, and I am able to catch myself before I get into those extremes now. But like I said, I'm not perfect, and it still does occasionally creep up on me, but it's just one of those things. And I thank God for the discernment to be able to catch things before they get too far, actually.
Yeah. So fast forward us now to kind of what led you down the path to your calling, you know, as you're transitioning into, you're doing more writing and speaking and the podcast and things like that. Can you just kind of share how God brought that about and kind of how he is now continuing to rise you up? And
absolutely,
how he's taking you from that wilderness to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I'll back up just a little bit. So in December of 2018, before all of this happened, I felt a very strong prompting that I was supposed to write a book. At the time, I thought I was supposed to write my husband's story. My husband has a phenomenal story. I've always thought it needed to be shared. And so we were coming home from a work Christmas party one night in December 2018. And I said, I think I'm supposed to write your book. And my husband says to me, I've been getting the same feeling. I think you're right. So I thought, well, there's my confirmation. Now, let me just say that that book is about 300 pages in, and it's not been published yet because I believe God asked me to put that book down. So that's a whole nother thing. But so I started writing that book, and during that time frame. But then when all this hit with the cancer and all that, and I was going through all of these things, I had kind of put that aside. And then also during this time frame, we moved. So we were living in Utah at the time. My husband got a job here in California. And so we moved right when I was cleared from all the cancer stuff. We actually moved like 2 or 3 months after that. And so when I got here, I was like, I just don't feel an anointing to write on your book anymore. I think it's a great story. I think it has a place on a shelf, but I think God's telling me not yet. So I went through the wilderness season, but then I also went through some spiritual warfare last year. I was not, I had to go through the wilderness, but then I had to go through some other things as well so that I could be well-rounded. And last year I just struggled with, what am I supposed to do? I know I'm called to do something, and I know it has to do with writing. So what is it? If it's not this book, what is it? So I went to a Christian writers conference last year in March, and I just prayed to God. It was like a little over 2 hour drive for me to get to the venue. And I prayed that entire 2 hours, and I was like, God, I am expecting you to show out and tell me what it is that you're calling me to do, because I just don't know. And I was open to anything, all I knew is it had something to do with writing. And so I get there, and I had a mentor assigned to me. And so during our mentoring sessions, we were supposed to be going over my work in progress, and it ended up being more of a counseling. It was the best time. It ended up being more of a counseling session, actually. And then in one of the sessions, she took my notebook, turned it to a blank page, and she wrote the word balance. And she just passed it over to me. Didn't say anything about what it meant, but I took that and I went back to my room and I prayed over it. The next day, I had one of the instructors come up to me and say, "You seem like you're very out of balance." I'm like, okay. And then I had another person mention something about balance to me. So it was brought to my attention three times, this word balance. And so the last night we were there during praise and worship, I mean, I just broke down in tears because I felt like I had my answer, and I didn't know what it was going to look like yet. I just knew that God wanted me to speak to women about being unbalanced, and he wanted me to use my experience of the perfectionism, the control, the learning to trust God, learning to step out in faith, learning to surrender, all of those things that he taught me over these 3 years. He wanted me to incorporate it into a ministry and help women to seek that balance. And so when I came back, it was so funny. I just started writing. I started writing blog posts. I met somebody at Mount Hermon who I contracted with, and she helped me get a new website up and helped me with my blog posts and all of those things. And so it just came very naturally at that point. So I knew that's what I'm supposed to write about. That is what God wants me to help women with. Because like we mentioned earlier, so many women are struggling with this notion of being unbalanced. We're trying to do all the things. We're trying to work. We're trying to take care of our kids, our husband, our home, and then on top of that, we feel guilty because we're not volunteering at church or the school. And so we're trying to do all of these things. And I'm currently leading a women's group Bible study at my church, and listening to those women, I mean, my heart just goes out to them, because so many of them are where I was 3, 5, 10 years ago. And they're at a breaking point and don't know where to go or what the Bible even says about living a balanced life. And so, so that's kind of where I'm at now. I am working on a 365-day devotion. And so my ministry, if you will, is based on three things that God has shown me about living a balanced lifestyle. And number one, it's putting him first and foremost, always. Always. Second thing is that self-care, self-love. I never loved myself. I never took care of myself in that way. And so God has really shown me that I need to love myself, take care of the body that he's given me so that I can be around for my family and for, you know, to further the kingdom and those things. And then the third thing was have fun. And so God just revealed to me, if you do these things, you're going to have a balanced life. You got to have that time for fun. I'd recognized that I was never having any fun. You know, I wasn't enjoying my life. I was working and striving and stressing so much that I never had any fun. And so that's kind of what I'm basing this 365-day devotion on, are those three concepts, and providing some stories. And I'm a storyteller by nature. I have so many stories. And so that's kind of the way that this devotion is coming out, is I'm telling a story and then I'm applying some good scripture to it and trying to help some women and men too. It's for men as well, but find that balance in their life.
Yeah. Well, we're kindred. I think a lot of women really do enjoy the aspect of stories. I do think that. I think Jesus was a great example to all of us on the power of parable storytelling and everything else and the relatability that comes with it. So, but I love the application of scripture and all of that. I'm assuming that you have a favorite scripture or two, maybe, that just resonates in your spirit that you might want to share with our listeners.
Yeah. So God revealed to me Jeremiah 29:11. I know that's a lot of everybody's favorites, but I got to read it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And that's one of the scriptures that kept coming to me over and over. You know how sometimes you'll read a scripture and then you'll go to church and that scripture is mentioned in the message, and then you'll listen to a podcast or, you know, another sermon online or whatever, and that message just keeps coming. And so that scripture came to me numerous times in the very beginning, right when I had gone into the wilderness. And so it was so comforting to me, because it's like God knew it was going to be a rough time for me, but he wanted to reassure me that I have a plan for this. Don't give up. Don't despair. I have a plan, and it's a good plan, and just hang in there. And so I fall back on that scripture all the time as a reminder that, you know, I am, you know, trying to follow his footsteps, and my heart's always in the right place. And there is a reason for things. Even now, I mean, thank goodness I am out of that wilderness, but even now when things kind of present themselves, I have to remind myself of Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah. So very good, Vivian. I would love to also have you share with my listeners, for those that are struggling right now, you know, they're in the wilderness, because there are many, many in the wilderness for various reasons that God has allowed it. It would be wonderful if you could maybe just share some encouraging words around that, or maybe to how you could be a resource for them for encouragement. Can you just share what's on your heart there?
Yeah. So, you know, again, I never recognized that I was ever in a wilderness season before. And so knowing that you're not alone, it feels like you're alone. And even though I knew it was a God-led experience, I did have some really dark days of feeling very isolated. And so, you know, God is with us the whole time. And so it's very important that we remember that, lean on the word, stay in prayer. You know, I built a prayer closet. It's one of the things that I did during this time frame. And I would go into that prayer closet and I would just cry out to God during those times. But what I would like to encourage women that I didn't do, and part of that was because it was kind of in that weird COVID time. And so, you know, it was hard to get back into church because their church doors were closed and work was closed and stuff. To reach out to, I mean, people can reach out to me when they go to my website. There's a place where if you want prayer, if you just want somebody to talk to or whatever, you can reach out to me and I will talk with you and we'll connect. But to to recognize that, number one, you're never alone because Christ is always with you. Number two, to reach out to someone, if it's a family member or somebody at your church or a girlfriend or me, reach out to someone and let them walk through that with you. I wonder, you know, oftentimes how I would have fared if I had somebody that I could have talked to about that. I kept it very, very personal and very silent, mostly because I kind of felt like I needed that one-on-one with God. So I kind of didn't want to invite too many people into that experience because I felt like I needed God on my own, but to reach out and talk to other people about it, that would be my number one advice. And like I said, if they go to my website, viviancummins.com, there's a place there you can reach out to me always.
Yeah. The podcast, is it around the balance piece? Are you bringing guests on, or are you speaking to that? How are you formatting your podcast? And tell us the name and how others can listen to it too.
Yeah. So it's due to launch May 1st. So we're currently in the recording portion of it right now, trying to get the first two seasons recorded. It's called Juggling Life, Finding Balance. There is a trailer out there on all the things, Spotify, Amazon, all of those. You can go there. But yes, yeah, so it's a combination. It's a combination of three things, actually. So there you'll hear some things from me, some things that I've learned, some tips and tricks and stories from me. But then also we have a great lineup of guests. We have professionals. We have people who are I've got some individuals who there's one special guest that I have coming up that's really exciting, is a sister of a couple of celebrities, and talking about her life and growing up with celebrities. And so we've got some really great guests, and it's all centering around, you know, living a balanced life. And that is so many things, you know, it's not just about eating right and exercising. It's so many different things. I'm also got a fun little segment that will be on there from time to time, and it's called Sister Talk with Viv and Becca. And Becca is, she's my sister-in-law from my first marriage, but we have remained very, very close. And as I mentioned, I really believe that living a balanced life is God, self-care, and fun. And Becca and I bring that fun portion. And it's just a time where she and I are going to get together and have some girl talk and talk about all the things women love to talk about that maybe, you know, sometimes it's hard to talk about some of those things. Well, we're going to talk about them, and we're going to laugh and have a great time. And so we're going to enter that into the mix as well.
Yeah, I think people respond to stories, of course, and humor,
yeah,
and authenticity, right? Conversation, all of that. And I think the topic that you're talking about with women, balance, is so challenging. And so It's so needed in just our world, because we're always pushed towards performance.
We are,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, in our Western culture, it just values that. The more you can push, the more you can do, the more, right? And it's almost worshiped, and it's like an idol. So it's really good. I'm so thankful. I'll be tuning into that, and I'll be praying for that. And I have some words I could probably share about balance, because I had to learn a lot about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes in the wilderness, by the way, in the wilderness. So
where we
anyway, it's where we learn. It's where we go, grow closer to God and all those wonderful things. But he goes through it. He goes through with us, right?
Yes.
So that's the encouraging piece. Okay. Well, I wanted to thank you again, Vivian. I know you're a busy lady, but thank you for taking the time and sharing your God story with my listeners. And I know many are going to be blessed now. We have listeners all over the world, women in 64 plus countries.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Women are women.
Yeah,
there are women all over, and so they need to hear what you're sharing, and I know it's going to encourage many. And now, friends, I'm going to introduce to you Sherry Puckett, and she's going to share a mental health tip. She is our mental health counselor that we've partnered with. So give a listen to her tip.
Hello, friends. This is Sherry Puckett, licensed professional counselor. And today I would like to talk to you about pride. Now, when I say pride, I'm not necessarily talking about the kind of pride you have when you say something like, I live in Kansas City and I'm so proud that I live in Kansas City. Or I'm so proud to be an American. Or I'm so proud of the school I attended and all of that kind of thing. Today, I really want to talk about self-pride. And not the good kind of pride, but the negative type of pride that actually leads us down the road to destruction. And let me give you an example of what self-pride I'm speaking of. So self-pride says something like, I always have to be on top. I always have to be noticed more than anyone else. I have to be the smartest, the most gifted, the best looking, all of these different things that just we're inundated with through social media and different forms of, you know, technology and all that's out there. We are inundated with the idea that somehow we're not enough and we have to work really hard to be better than anyone else. And notice I said anyone else. There's always that comparison game that goes on. The result of that is a life filled with depression, anxiety, insecurity, and an inability to develop real, genuine relationships. It's very, very, very destructive. You know, Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The problem with this mindset is that it's not what God has called us to be like. We are not supposed to be so self-focused that we cannot celebrate other people around us. We are not supposed to have our minds set upon ourselves so much that we actually mar the image that God created us to be. We never really reach our potential when you are prideful and you do not want anyone speaking into your life. You do not want anyone that you perceive to be better than you in your presence. It can get really ugly really, really quickly. Probably one of the most important things that happens is that it really interferes with your relationship with God. Because pride says, I can do it. I need to be in control. I'm going to create myself the way that I want to be. I will be better than X, Y, Z, this person or that person. And you're not even satisfied, ever satisfied, because honestly, that kind of pride is just sin. God has called us into a deep, intimate relationship with Him, where our identity, our self-worth is found in Him alone, not in society, not in, you know, magazines or different ads that we see on Facebook or whatever the world is pushing at us. God wants us to see our worth and our identity in Him alone. He calls us His own beloved. I want to encourage you. I do not want you to miss out on what God has called you to do and who God has called you to be. And this takes a step of faith. It means that I'm going to lay aside my agenda and I'm going to look in the face of God through His word and say, Father, why am I here? Who did you create me to be? The beautiful thing you will discover is that there's only one you. God did not make duplicates of you. And so there's no need to compare yourself to anyone else. When God sees you, He rejoices over you, He loves you, and He celebrates you. And so I would like to challenge you to start to change your thinking whenever you find yourself lifted up in pride, wanting to be better, wanting to be noticed more than anyone else, and try to humble yourself. Say, God, I choose to humble myself. I choose to be who you've called me to be. I choose to let you mold me and make me and use me for my divine purpose. And I choose not to waste any more time going down this dark hole where there's no way out. All right. That's all I've got for today. I hope that you find pride in Jesus and find security in knowing that he created you fearfully and wonderfully made. Have a great day.
In closing, friends, I want to remind you that we're going to have Vivian's episode up on our website. You're going to have all the information, including the player to listen. And we're out there on all the platforms that you all like to listen to. And of course, on YouTube. We're excited about that. And until the next show, friends, be heard and be healed.
Altered Stories Ministry is a faith-based, nonprofit, and women's evangelistic storytelling ministry. If you enjoyed listening to today's story, your family and friends would probably benefit from hearing how God works in the lives of women all over the world, too. So please, subscribe to our show and share the link to this podcast. Share it on your social media. We also welcome your valued feedback on our stories. Also, we'd appreciate your prayerful consideration in sponsoring one of our future God-glorifying stories and welcome your tax-exempt financial donation. To find out more on how you can support our ministry, you can log on to our website at www.alteredstories.org.